Jesus, thanks so much for today. God, thank you for the opportunity. God, we pray today that the truth of who you are would be real to us. God, we pray your will to be done. God, this is always our prayer, not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, would you help us today? Whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever area is happening, whatever area has our attention, God, I pray these next couple minutes that you would help us to see who you are, the plans that you have for us, and what you want to do in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been around at all, or even if you haven't, we're in this series, and we're in the 13th week of the series called Let's Talk, because we believe in conversation. We don't want to be a statement-driven church. We want to be a conversation church. We want to have conversation. I don't want to just know that you believe something. I want to know why you believe that, and I want you to ask us, why do you believe what you believe? So we believe in having conversations, and we believe in sitting down and getting to know one another, and there's always a backstory. There's always a story or an experience that has brought you to this place, and so let's have conversation about it, and typically, if you don't want to have conversation, that usually means you're wanting to hide something. So if there's ever a moment in my life where I'm like, I don't want to talk about it, it's usually because something deeper is happening inside of me, and we want us to have conversations. So we're willing to have the hard, awkward conversation because it's important to get past whatever it is that we're going through. In the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the story of Daniel and who Daniel is, and who Daniel has become is always on the predecisions or the things that he's resolved in his heart. And we saw that in week one in Daniel 1. It says that Daniel resolved in his heart as a teenager that he wasn't going to partake in the things of Babylon. If you know the story at all, I'll give you a little backstory. Daniel is he's been enslaved or he's been in exile 1,000 miles from home. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar has taken captive these young men and he's then taken the handsome and the best fit and he's brought them into his kingdom and he's teaching them to behave a certain way. And they've had to make hard stands and it's the decision of who am I and what am I called to do? And it says that Daniel resolved in his heart or Daniel predetermined, no matter what comes up, he predetermined or resolved, settled in his heart who he was going to be as a young man. And as we follow his life, we see the decisions that he predetermined on. He was willing to stand. Even last week when everybody else was running away and afraid to say the important, truthful things, everybody didn't say to King Nebuchadnezzar what King Nebuchadnezzar needed to hear, yet Daniel did. Daniel had the conversation because Daniel knew who he was more important than the awkward things that he has to say. That there's going to be a time in your life where you have to have a conversation with someone in your life, and it's going to be awkward, it's going to be really interesting, but you say it because you love them. You say it because you want to get past wherever you currently are, so you're willing to have a heart. We're not sweeping things under the rug. We want to have these tough conversations, and a lot of the things we struggle with, all because we're unwilling to have a conversation. We're unwilling to talk about it because it's hard or it's difficult. And Daniel goes, you know what? I got to tell you the truth. Because Daniel was more concerned about King Nebuchadnezzar than he was his reputation. We saw that Daniel actually loved this evil king. And for record, King Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most ruthless evil kings that had ever lived. I did tell you that he captured Daniel, brought him into the kingdom. So Daniel is living in exile, yet in this moment, Daniel is faithfully serving this king. The next time you quit your job because your boss is evil, or you bail on a friend, maybe God is asking you to be faithful to that person instead of just bailing, instead of just clicking unfriend, instead of just walking away. Why not have a conversation? And who knows what that conversation will possibly turn into. This week, Daniel chapter 6. If you got a Bible, you can go there. If not, it'll be on the screens. Also in our YouVersion app, Daniel chapter 6, it says this. Now Daniel serving a different king, King Darius. And we see it right here. Verse 1. Darius the Mede decided to divide his kingdom into 120 provinces. And he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other as administrators to supervise the high officers and to protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Here's Daniel's life. We see him standing out, serving with an excellent spirit, always going the extra mile. King looks and says, listen, Daniel, he's head and shoulders above anyone else in the kingdom. And I want to put him in charge. Listen, there's a mindset in the church that we just get by doing things. Like, well, it's the church. We can give them, you know, our stuff that we don't want, and maybe the church will do something with it. Or we come in, we're like, let's give a church discount. Listen, there is something to be said by living your life with excellence so that the world will see that there's a God who loves them. And Daniel says, listen, I'm willing to stand out, not so my name is in lights. I'm willing to stand out so you can see that there is a God who is great. There is a God who loves you, and that's the reason I stand out. If we're standing out for any other reason but to make our name famous, then we're missing the point of why we do what we do. This is Daniel's life. Now he's not only being recognized, he's second in command. He's second in command. And let me just say this. When God lifts you up, expect people to want to tear you down. When God lifts you up, expect people to want to tear you down. Verse 4. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Let me ask this. It's a generic question, right? When your coworkers work at your life, can they find any fault in you? Like when people examine your life and they're searching for fault or they're searching for something that they can catch you on, what do they find? This is Daniel's story. So, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live the king Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, they lied, officials, high officers, advisors, and government, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown to the den of lions. Now, a lot of people, if you've been raised in Sunday school or you've heard any stories, you know about David and Goliath, or you know about, you know, all the stories. You know about Daniel and the lion's den. Maybe that felt bore that Pastor Dobie talked about. You saw Daniel get right up there. And usually what we do in the church is we Disney-ify it. I just made up a word right there. We Disney-ify it. What do? We make this lion's den with some cute little kittens, and they're smiling, and Daniel's this young chap, right? He's just this young man. He's so handsome, and look at him. But the Bible says, actually, Daniel's about in his 80s. And I've been to the zoo. Those lions are ferocious, right? They're not no cute kittens. So we got to understand, when we're reading the story, understand, Daniel is in this place. He has friends, administrators, who are making up stuff against him, because when God lifts you up, when God gives you position, there will always be someone who is jealous of what it is that you're doing. Several times in my life, one particular, I'll tell you, there's a time when we left the position we were at and we moved to Omaha, Nebraska. And for some people in the church, that was difficult for us to leave, because we've become close and they didn't quite understand. When you say to someone, like, we feel like we're supposed to go to Omaha, Nebraska, there's going to be some people that disagree with that decision. Like anything, right? There's some people like, that's great that you're building the building, but I'm not giving to any of that because I don't necessarily agree. There's people, I probably shouldn't say this. You think I would learn the first service when I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know why? Because I don't care. Anyway, there's some people from First Baptist, the building we bought this from, that love the changes that we've made to this building, because they didn't necessarily think they should move. They wanted to stay right here, right? So there's always going to be decisions you make that people aren't going to like. So we stood up and we said, hey, we feel like we're supposed to go to Omaha, Nebraska. There's some people who are like, we don't like that you're going there. We don't like Nebraska, and we're not happy for you, right? I listed my house. We listed our house at the time. We had a couple realtors in the church. We listed the house. And one of the realtors we didn't list with, made it a point that she was mad that we didn't list it with her. And the first person who looked at our house bought it. I mean, it was just like, it was a beautiful story. Like, oh, I don't have to worry about that. First person looked at it. And so I'm at church on a Sunday evening. I see that realtor. And that day, we did an open house. First person looked at it. And she looked at me and she's like, you know, that doesn't normally happen, right? You know, typically, the first person that walks in doesn't give you full asking price. This is not normal. And I said, you're right, it's not normal. Praise the Lord that it's sold. Get over yourself. You're not getting the commission. Move past it. Right? There's another time that someone in the church that I knew, they were selling a Mustang GT. Yeah. Somebody booed in the first service, and I'm like, this is why I don't like you, 9 a.m. You don't even like American. Anyway, so this person in the church says, hey, listen, I know you like Mustangs. I only had Jake at the time, and it was a Cobra, too, and it was, it purred, man. It was so pretty. You knew when I showed up. You know what I mean? It's like these motorcycles you guys drive. Like, everybody knows when you show up, Steve. Everybody knows Steve's here because of this beautiful motorcycle. It's the same thing with this GT Cobra. I mean, it was red. It was beautiful. And this guy's like, I want to bless you. I want to give you a great deal. Didn't change my car payment. It was awesome. I was like, this is awesome. I jump in front of my buddy's house that I'm friends with, who is also a youth pastor in town. I get out of the car. First thing his wife says, I must not be living right. I mean, we must not be living right. How come we don't get blessed like that? I mean, look at the van that we drive, and you just got yourself a Cobra. So much that I feel guilty. I feel guilty that someone had just get, like, so much that I'm changing how I feel, and now I'm shying away from the way God blesses because I'm more concerned by what somebody else is saying than what God just did. Instead of celebrating, like, wow, look how awesome that is. I'm so happy for you. And this is why I say, if people can't celebrate when you win, they'll never have compassion on you when you lose. It just will not happen. Surround yourself with people that want you to be better. Surround yourself with people that are celebrating when God does something in your life. This is the moment for Daniel. He's with two other men who are mad that he is head and shoulders above everyone else, that he's about to be second in command, and so they got to make up something about them. They got to make up something about Daniel. And this is what we see. We see when God lifts you up, there's always going to be people that want to tear you down. If you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, I would say you're not ready to be used by God. And I would say this. I would say if you don't have opposition, you should question that more than if you do have opposition. Because here it is. We're not fighting against one another. There is a real enemy that does not like you. Does not like what you stand for, does not like the way you live your life, does not like that you're taking a stand on some truthful things, which begs this question. Are we concerned about the truth? Like, I think one of the things that's lacking in our culture is truth. Now, I think we've made versions of the truth that we fit in our own minds and fit our own stories, but I'm talking about the truth. Like, do we want truth? And don't just Christianize it. Don't just like, oh yeah, I totally want truth. I love truth. Until someone calls me out for what I'm doing. Right? Until someone calls me out for the things that I'm involved in. Until someone says like, hey, let me point this out in your life. And this is what's happening. This opposition that's happening is Daniel is taking a stand. And because of that, he's getting opposition. He's standing up. He's standing strong. He's standing out. And sure enough, there's people that want to stop him. Because this is what it comes down to. So what's his options? Like, what are the options that Daniel has? Every single day, from his teenage life till now, he's made a decision at morning, noon, and night. I'm going to go into my home, I'm going to open the window, and I'm going to give thanks to God. Morning, noon, night. And now the king has issued this decree that anybody who calls on anything other than King Darius will be thrown into the lion's den. So this decision on who Daniel is. And some of us were like, what's the big deal? Pray quietly. Act like you're praying. But that's not who Daniel is. Think about pre-decisions or things that you've resolved in your heart. And then someone says, don't do that. Someone says, stop doing it. You've pre-decided in your heart that you're going to be a stay-at-home mom and you're not going to work. And because of that, you've made a family decision and people are talking against it. Do you give into the pressure or do you do what God has called you to do as a family? Or you've decided to homeschool, you've decided to public school, you've decided whatever it is in a family. What do you do when the pressure happens? Do you bail? Or do you do what you've resolved in your heart to do because you know it's what God has called you to do? Right? What do you do in that moment? Because I think there's times that we diminish what God has called us to do, and we just go, you know what, Daniel, just instead of going home, just don't open the window and just maybe act like you're praying. Take 30 days off, Daniel. It's 30 days. Look at verse 10. Love this. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With his windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Hear what I'm saying to you. Kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. Kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. It says, I find this interesting, Daniel was taken captive from Jerusalem. It says he opened the window and he prayed towards Jerusalem, where he was taken from, knowing that he was going to be captive for 70 years, knowing, God, I'm asking you to help me be faithful as you've been faithful. And it says that what he did was he did what he had always done. Part of me, I have a really difficult time in our culture because we come up with funny sayings. Like, when all else fails, pray. Why is prayer always the afterthought? Like, why is it that we go, you know what, I checked my bank account, I've called the bank, I've asked a couple friends, I don't got anything else to do, I guess I'll pray about it. Like, what if kneeling to pray and calling out to God is where the answer is found and not as a last result? So when all else fails, pray. And yet the Bible says, first and foremost, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Matthew 6:33. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Ephesians says it this way, NIV 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's help. The shortest scripture in all the Bible, pray continuously, right? Just like Jesus wept, but pray continuously. What is that? Have an attitude of prayer no matter what you're going through, knowing that you're free to pray wherever you are, whenever you can. Like, that's the first response. Yet you and I live in a culture, you and I live in this mindset where like, well, I didn't know what else to do, so then I prayed and watched God do his thing. No. Start there first, because in this moment of kneeling to pray, Daniel got the courage to stand when he needed to stand. When you do what's right, last thing, when you do what's right, you can always trust God with the results. When you do what's right, look at this. I'm going to read this to you. It's not up on the screen. It is in YouVersion, but let me read this to you. Verse 16 says, so at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was placed over the mouth of the den. King sealed the stone. Then, verse 18, then the king returned to the palace and spent the night fasting. This is interesting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early in the morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions?" It's like you woke up to the zoo, right? You're at the zoo. You're like, "Daniel, I prayed and I fasted all night because I was suckered into this law, and I love who you are, and I love that you serve God faithfully, and I hate that I had to go through with what I go through, but I know you serve God faithfully. I know that they can't find fault in you. I know you're above and heads and shoulders above everyone else. And so, Daniel, I fasted for you. I prayed to your God that I don't actually serve, but I prayed to him anyway." Like, listen, when you live in such a way that people who don't believe in God start fasting and praying, that's impressive. Right? It's pretty impressive when your boss is like, "I don't believe in this God, but wow, I've seen you faithfully serve him." Like King Darius is like, "I've heard stories of what Nebuchadnezzar has done to you. I've heard stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fire. I've heard stories about all of this God thing. And so I fasted for you because I did not want this to happen." Daniel answered, love this. Look at this honor right here. "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." Like, you not picture this? Like, could Daniel not have had some animosity towards King Darius? Like, could he not been like, "Forget you, king. You're putting me in a lion's den. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm gonna go and shout from the rooftops. I will not do what he told me to do. I'm going to protest this. All of Jerusalem, hear me. I'm going to boycott what King Darius is doing. This is wrong. This is unjust. This is unfair." No, he just did what he always did. He just prayed like he always prayed. He just was faithful where he's at. Listen, stop removing yourself from being faithful because emotion gets in the way. Stop allowing your feelings to get so dang hurt that you stop giving God the praise and the glory that he's supposed to be. Listen, God is not shocked by what is happening on the earth, especially your world. God is not shocked by what is happening. What is happening is we're figuring out where we really trust God and where we really don't. What's happening to you is revealing that maybe you don't trust him like you thought you did. If this would have said, "And Daniel freaked out. Daniel freaked out. He went crazy. He went insane. He protested. He did all these things." We'd been like, "Daniel, man, he reacted in such a bad way. That's not what he did." See, listen, you and I, we want to experience the supernatural. Then be faithful in the natural. Be faithful where you are. You want God to lift you up? Then stop trying to be like everybody else and be you. Stop trying to rob what somebody else is getting because you think God loves them more, and just be you and do what God's called you to do and allow God to move in you and be faithful where you are, and you'll start seeing the mouths of lions be shut. But know this. When you're faithful, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people who are against you. There's going to be people that are jealous of you. That doesn't change the fact that you do what's right now. That's what it says. And Daniel answered, "Long live the king." The king was overjoyed in order that Daniel be lifted from the den. See, proving Daniel was old, right? He had to be lifted out. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men. This is, wow. This should be made into a movie right here. Who had maliciously accused Daniel, and he had them thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. He says, "Listen, Daniel, you've been faithful. And because of that, I want you to know," hear the end of Daniel 6. I decree to everyone throughout my kingdom that they should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus. What does the reign of Cyrus have to do with anything? Cyrus, the next king. If you keep reading the story and go back to Ezra chapter 1, the first five verses of Ezra, you'll see that King Cyrus, because of Daniel's faithfulness, restored everything that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen and says after 70 years, here's what I want to happen. I want all of the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to restore everything. And the temple that Nebuchadnezzar has burned down, I'm going to personally pay for that temple to be rebuilt. And you can read Ezra 1, it's 11 verses. And it shows all the gold, all the silver, all the stuff that it would be like someone coming in here and going, listen, there's been a time where the church has been wronged. Let us build this church, right? Let us provide. It says King Cyrus, because of Daniel's faithfulness, said everything that was stolen, I'm now going to restore. And there was great celebration as those that were captive went back to Jerusalem. And a temple was rebuilt. Listen to what I'm saying to us today. When you stand for who God is, and you do what's right, God shows himself once again faithful when we've been faithful. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what has hit you. But I know this. I know this. That God shows up whether I'm living on a mountaintop or a valley. God shows up whether I'm going through the hardest thing I've ever gone through, or I'm going through something that's not so difficult. God is always there. This is the reason Isaiah said, fear not, for he is with you. What did Daniel do that was so special? That whether he was on the mountaintop or in the valley, he always did what he always did. And he was consistent, and he was faithful, no matter what was happening. And because of that, he saw great things happen. You want to know why I don't see some of the things that I feel like God wants me to see? Because I'm inconsistent. I allow what has happened to me to affect me. I allow what people say to affect me. I allow the emotions of life to affect me. Yet Daniel didn't, and he just did what he had always done. I'm going to challenge us today. Challenging us to go, what is something that I need to resolve in my heart to do for the rest of my life? Not a season, you guys. Not a season. Some of you, for the rest of your life, you need to stop doing X. Some of you, for the rest of life, you need to stop doing whatever. Some of you, for the rest of your life, you need to resolve in your heart that every single day, and don't make it emotional, don't let someone bend you towards that direction. You decide every single day, I'm going to decide morning, noon, and night, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to give him thanks, I'm going to give him praise, and I'm going to allow God to radically change me. Whatever it is, you're resolving in your heart, stop making it a season and make it a lifestyle. Stop making it about getting by. All of a sudden we're, oh yeah, come be a Christian with me. It's so awesome, praise the Lord. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want anything that you have. Like, smile for the love of Jesus. Good God, smile, person. Like, be happy. Where's the joy of the Lord? Well, I'm going through something right now. Yeah, King Darius was about to take his life. What did he do? What he'd always done. What he'd always done. Create a habit that the 80-year-old you will be thankful you did. Create an environment. Create an atmosphere. And then do this. Find people around you who are going to challenge you to keep doing it when you don't feel like doing it. Challenge people. Go, hey, how was your devotion this morning? Well, I didn't have it. Well, you got to be better, man. Why didn't you have it? What was the deal? I'm for you, man. I want the best for you. Like, why didn't you have the devotion? Like, come on. You got to be better. Find that person. Because it's not hard to find a million friends. It's hard to find one friend who will stick by you when a million others won't. That's the hard part. Find that person who's going to challenge you, who's going to push you, and I'm going to just throw this out there. Nothing against your marriage. It's probably not your wife. No offense to her. She's probably the best thing that's ever happened to you. Okay? I have no doubt. But it's not my wife. My God, when I say I'm fasting something, my wife's like, I'm still cooking it anyway. I'm like, good Lord, woman. Like, could you help me out? Everybody should be fasting it. You know? You know why I can say that? Because she's in Nashville this weekend. And I know she's not watching this. Just in case she does. She won't. So, you're lucky I didn't say anything worse. Surround yourself with people who are for you. Last thing I'm going to say, promise. Stop trying to change people. Stop trying to change people. Let God change them. You know what my job is? You know what your job is as a follower of Jesus? To pray for the people in your life. My job is to not change the mayor, the governor, the president, senators, congressmen, that's not my job. My job is to pray for them. My job is not to change my kids. My job is to pray for my kids. Because I don't want my kids to follow Jesus just because dad made them. I want my kids to be convinced that God is the only way. And I can't do that. And the moment I'm put on a platform or I'm put on a pedestal or the moment that I'm higher than what I should be, then they're going to look to me. I don't need them to look to me. I need them to look to Jesus. And he's the one that can change them. I cannot change them. I'm going to mess them up sometimes. I'm going to do some things I should have never done. There's going to be things, if they're constantly looking at me as the ultimate example, I'm going to fail them. Jesus will not. And I think so many times we go, I'm going to change so-and-so. You play a role, and the role is pray and be a good example. But in the end, only Jesus can change their heart. Because at the end, you don't want to go like, yeah, look at our marriage, it's so awesome. I did it. It was me. It was me. I read this book, and it changed me. No. At the end, you want to give God the praise that he's worthy of. To God be the glory. Because when you see people, they're going to go, dude, I knew you in high school. There's no way that that's you. And you go, yeah, Jesus did that. Only Jesus did that. Only Jesus did that. Would you stand with me right now? We pray together right now. God, I pray, God, that you would help us be faithful. God, help us to be consistent. God, I pray that you'd give us strength today. God, thank you that that's your word, that you're an ever-present help. In times of trouble, in times of need, God, you're there to help. God, thank you for that promise. And the promise that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us, you've never turned your back on us. God, thank you for that promise today. God, if there's an area in our life where we're weak, there's an area where we're struggling, God, we give that to you. God, thank you also for the promise that you say, come to me. All of you who are weary, heavy burdened, God, I will give you rest. God, thank you for that promise. That's not a church promise, that's your promise. And so, God, we come to you today. God, we bring to you all that's going on. But God, I thank you that you are faithful to us. And we declared this song, there wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. God, thank you for that promise today. And I pray that you would strengthen us and that you would help us.